Hi, I'm Imani.
Hi, I'm Laura.
And today we're going to discuss the first three chapters of How to Lie with Statistics. So, in the first chapter, I like how he was talking about built-in bias. Like, I found it very helpful and true to understand because, especially when he was talking about Yale and how trying to say that if my kid go to Yale, they are making $25,000 a year.
Because they go to Yale.
And I like how he said you can't use that and say, you can't use that stat and say that's the case when they probably didn't take account for everybody who graduated from that specific class. They probably left out people who end up becoming like crackheads or lowlives. They left that out of their statistics right. And added that to make their school more Ivy League. So I really enjoyed that. But I wonder how often are the built-in biases in our society today? Because this book is way back in. So
like if they still do it now?
Yeah, like
I doubt it.
You doubt it?
I doubt it.
I don't know. I think so. I think built-in bias, I think they still do it.
I don't think they do it the same way they did it before. Like, they switched up certain things that aren't how they are now that were back then. But,
well,
I guess in general, I guess they would still do it.
I think because, you know how he said that built-in biases come from respondents not replying honestly.
Right.
Honestly. So, like, I feel like, how often do we do that? How often do we not respond to a survey honest?
All the time.
So I think built-in biases still are existing.
Well, no, because when I do one, that's just because I don't see the point of lying. But, I mean, yeah, that's true. Because some people just lie because it makes them sound better. But, so then I guess they would still make them.
Well,
I didn't even get what he was talking about until the end part, so I don't even know.
Understood.
It confused me a little bit in the beginning. And then once you start talking about the Yale thing, then the whole 25,000. But then the first thought that came to my mind was he probably didn't count everybody that go to Yale and how they came out in the aftermath. Because just to, like, that's like saying if you go to Temple or you go to a regular city school, you automatically make a certain amount of money. But you could be easily become a crackhead and you make nothing. But they're not going to count that because they want to make themselves look better represented. So, same thing with the survey. You go and lie.
Well, remember, he was talking about the when they were asked, which magazines do they read most? Remember, I think it was out of Harper and True Love Story.
Right.
And how most of the respondents came back and said they read the True Love Story.
Right.
But when they were doing it and investigating it, it came back that True Love Story had a much higher circulation than Harper's. So, like, people said True Love Story because of the fact that it was printed more.
Right.
And there was the whole bias in that. So, like I think we do that to bring it back to, like, modern time. Like, if a survey was to ask who's a better singer, Beyonce or, I don't know.
Yeah.
No, because Rihanna can't really sing.
Or
Adele.
Right, Adele.
Most people would say Beyonce
because she
sells
more. Right.
You know? So I think reading that part was really interesting because it had me think about my own biased opinions because sometimes people would be like, who's a better rapper, Common or Jay-Z?
Right.
And I go to Jay-Z.
Because we hear him more.
Because I hear him more. But Common, intellectually, is crazy. So I really enjoyed that part. So chapter 2 was about the well-chosen average. And basically a quick summary of what the well-chosen average is basically when you tell somebody, let's say, the average amount of students that graduate from SLA High School is, let's say graduating from SLA High School, the average amount of students start making $5,000, okay? Mm-hmm. So you look at that and you say, wow, you know, so if I graduate high school, I'm guaranteed as soon as I get out of high school, I'm making $5,000 a month. Let's exaggerate that. But what the average does is you don't know where is that average coming from, because most people don't know that there are three type of averages, the mean, the mode, and the median. So, like, maybe after doing it, most people make $5,000. Or maybe in the middle, doing the median, the person in the middle made $5,000 and they used that as their average.
Right.
Which was pretty understandable. So, but one of the examples that I like that he gave us was the whole, I think it was with like the job. I think like publishers says that their average pay of their employees is $1,000.
Right.
And how we as readers, we instantly assume that everyone makes around $2,000. But we as a whole can say, oh yeah, everybody makes around $2,000, and we're assuming that that's the mean. But the corporation could be talking about the arithmetic mean, where like I think the boss is making some outrageous number of like, you know, $11,000, and then out of the like 19 or like 20 employees, they're making like $500, you know?
Right.
And that's the lie in it. And that's the, which I think is really a good marketing idea with jobs. Our employees make this much, and you take an arithmetic mean that, you take a mean that don't fit what you gave the average of, like the whole employee, how they say we make $1,000, you assume that you're making that around that much when really you're only making half of it.
So like false advertisement.
Yeah, it's false advertisement. It's not really false though. Which I think is really
the amount of money you're making is false.
No. Cause they gave you the arithmetic mean.
But they didn't tell you. They gave you the arithmetic mean.
Yeah, that's the
which
gimmick.
Which makes it false advertisement.
Mm-hmm.
Because
they said average. They said the average amount of employee makes $1,000. They didn't say how the average, what they didn't give you what means.
What ways
yeah,
to make
what
it.
Way. They didn't say after doing the mode, our average amount of employees make $1,000. They just said the average amount of employees make $1,000. Which if you do the stats behind it, that's true. After take it's true. After
but then they may be true, but then they lose people. Because if you're not making the average amount of money, why would you want to work? If you're only, say you're supposed, the average is $1,000, you're making like $500, what is the point of working there? You're not making anything.
But
you're losing money, like you're wasting time.
Most people would think, like most people would assume, oh.
Oh my God, I'm making
$1,000. I have to work to get to that. So they would stay.
No, they're not.
It's they
no
are.
No one thinks like that.
Why
if you
they?
If it says the average is $1,000, I'm gonna automatically assume I make $1,000.
But
if you're giving me $500, I'm looking at my check like, for what? That's not gonna be going to work in your house. I'm not gonna get $1,000. You could be the hardest worker there, and you're still making $500.
But Laura, you don't just because if a thing say the average amount of our workers make $1,000, that don't mean every worker makes $1,000. So you can't assume that.
But you just said if you work harder, if you're working harder, that's not that don't guarantee you're going to make $500 more.
That doesn't guarantee it, but you will assume it. Like you would say, I started off at this job, so of course I'm gonna make the bare minimum. But if I work hard enough, I can make that maximum. I can make that average that you're talking about.
So make $1,000.
Yeah, I can make it.
And now what if you don't? What if it passed 4 months and you're still making $500?
People don't get promoted.
You still gonna
do you know how a job worked though?
Yes.
No.
Yes.
Okay, you did have a job.
Exactly. My point. And you get up. I get that, but at the same point in time, you don't get the you're working hard, but you're not getting anywhere. It's a corporation. Like, you can't come from like an employee to a vice president in 4 months, but like you get paid more money. Like, come
but
on.
You're not gonna get paid $500 more.
But you can get but like it don't it could be like $200 more, but you're still you're making
look
upcoming. But my grandma,
when she used to work at a bank, she used to work there like she before she quit and stuff, she was working there for like 20 years. And in them 20 years, she made herself to be making like $27 an hour. But she didn't start off with $27 an hour.
That's a lot of money.
That's a lot of money, Larva.
$27 an hour?
$27 an hour is a lot of money. Like, look, hold on, let me do the math for
you. Compared to $7.25 is a lot of money.
If you got $27 an hour, right, and you work for 8 hours, you're making $216 a day.
Without taxes.
All right, let's say without taxes, you're making $260 a day, and then you times that by 14. She's making $3,000 every 2 weeks.
First of all, I doubt it'd be 14. It'll be 5 and 5.
Why? 7 and 7.
Yes, but did your grandma work every single day of the week?
All right. 27. Wait, what did we do?
216 times 10.
216 times 10. $2,160.
You know how much taxes that comes out of that? Because my mom make more than that.
$2,160, and then it's times 2. $4,000 something a month.
Without taxes. You have to take taxes out.
She might not have been making that much because she was making bank. Like, she was...
No, I get that. She made money. But she was there for 20 years.
Yeah.
It's a long time.
Are you not committed to a job, Laura?
No, my mother... It didn't even take my mom. It took my mom 1 year to become from an employee to supervisor. That's what I'm saying.
But a banking job is different from what your mom do. In a banking job, you just don't move up that quick.
But 20 years just to get there is a very long. No one's going to wait out 20 years to get more money. You find a new job.
Everybody waits out to get more money. When Beyonce hit the scene.
Oh, my God.
Yes,
Beyonce.
When she hit the scene, she wasn't making.
Whatever.
When she hit the scene, she wasn't worth no $300 million. It took her 15 years.
She been at it since she was a child, though. So she has been making money.
But she was but she had to work up.
No singer in this lifetime will ever, unless you're Michael Jackson, ever make it up that much money when you start off again. Michael Jackson was just popping. That's the difference.
Nah, Michael Jackson didn't start off making that much money. Remember, he started off when he was young, too.
With Jackson 5. It was five
therefore,
of them.
Therefore, five no matter them. What job career choice you have to do.
But it's taken Beyonce longer than it took Michael Jackson.
Anyway, on to chapter 3. Chapter 3 is the little figures that are not there. So basically, chapter 3 is going on the idea of making your sample fit and prove your, like, I guess, hypothesis, like how a small sample space will prove your idea rather than a larger one. So, like, it goes off, like, when he was talking about the scientist who only flipped a coin 10 times, okay? He got 8 hits. So the crazy scientist was basically, like, when flipping a penny, you get hits 80% of the time, which I guess that's probably where that little saying come from. That's just a side note. But his idea, he got that idea from a small sample space. Rather him using a large sample space, he would have probably got a different result and a different idea.
He only used pennies, right?
Yeah. He only used pennies.
So wait, that saying only goes for pennies?
Well, that's what the scientists and the author is not saying that's the case. He was given an example on how a small sample space can fit, like with marketing.
Can fit what he's talking about.
Yeah, okay. Can fit your, like if his thing is pennies flip heads, pennies, in order to, if you want heads, you have to, if you're doing a coin toss, call heads whenever you're using a penny. Why? And then if someone be like, why? And be like, well, I flipped a coin and I got heads 80% of the time using a penny.
Right.
So that's how that went. And that's basically the whole idea of chapter 3 and using a small sample space. And another thing that I thought was really interesting is how they said, like, marketing campaigns really, like, attack, like, parents and new parents. Mm-hmm. Like, they would say, at this age, your child should be doing this, 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 this. If they're not doing this, 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 then they are not normal. And I thought that was interesting on how they put that on there because, well, since this book is, like outdated before, like, Google and stuff, right. I find it interesting, like, on Google, we can now Google things and try to figure out, oh, is our, because parents are so paranoid about having abnormal kids.
Right.
Oh, my child is one and still don't know how to walk. What's wrong? You know?
So they hear too much.
But it goes off the marketing campaign where they probably tested, like, they probably didn't test enough or the right kids.
Right.
But because whatever they tested came out to prove their results on, at 1 year old, your child must be walking or they are not normal, mm-hmm. that's enough to put in there. And that's a lie with statistics.